Chapter 31. Driver's Side. She didn't see that first bullet, but it must have hit a wire or something coming through because the lights came on. She did see the second one, or anyway the hole it blew in the leather grain plastic. Something inside her stopped, learning this about bullets, that one second there isn't any hole, the next second there is. Nothing in between. You see it happen, but you can't watch it happening. Then she got down on her hands and her knees and started crawling, because she couldn't just stand there and wait for the next one. When she got up by the door, she could see her black pants crumpled up on the floor there, beside a set of keys on a gray leather-grain plastic tab. There was this smell from when he'd shot the gun into the floor. Maybe from the carpet burning, too, because she could see that the edges of the holes were scorched and sort of melted. Now she could hear him yelling, somewhere outside, hoarse and hollow and chased by echoes. Held her breath. Yelling how they, who, did the best PR in the world. How they'd sold Hunnis Milbank. Now they'd sell Sunflower, if she heard it right. Down by the door here, driver's side. It was Rydell, the door on that side standing open.
He left the keys in here, she said.
Think he's gone down there where the Dream Walls franchise used to be.
What if he comes back?
Probably come back anyway. We stick around here. You crawl up there and toss me those?
She edged through the door and between the buckets, saw Rydell's head there by the open door, grabbed the keys and threw them sideways without looking, snatched her pants and scooted backward, wondering could she maybe fit in the fridge if she folded her legs up.
Why don't you lie down flat on the floor back there?
His voice from the driver's seat. Lie down?
Minimum silhouette.
Huh?
He's gonna start shooting when I do this. Ignition sound. Glass flying from fresh holes in the windshield, and she threw herself flat.
The RV lurched backward, turning tight, and she could hear him slapping the console, trying to find some function he needed, as more bullets came, each one distinct, a blow like someone was swinging an invisible hammer, taking care to keep the rhythm.
Rydell must have gotten it lined up how he needed it then, because he did that thing boys did up in Oregon with their brakes and the transmission.
She realized then that she was screaming, not words or anything, just screaming. Then they were in a turn that almost took them over, and she thought how these RVs probably weren't meant to move very fast. Now they were moving even faster. It felt like uphill.
Well, fuck, she heard Rydell say in this weirdly ordinary kind of voice, and then they hit the door or the gate or whatever, and it was like the time she tried to pull this radical bongo over in Lafayette Park, and they'd had to keep explaining to her how she'd come down on her head, and each time they did, she'd forget. She was back in Skinner's room, reading National Geographic, about how Canada split itself into five countries, drinking cold milk out of the carton and eating saltines. Skinner in bed with the TV, watching one of those shows he liked about history. He was talking about how all his life these movies of history had been getting better and better looking, how they'd started out jumpy and black and white with the soldiers running around like they had ants in their pants, and this terrible grain to them, and the sky all full of scratches, how gradually they'd slowed down to how people really moved, and then they'd been colorized, the grain getting finer and finer, and even the scratches went away. And it was bullshit, he said, because every other bit of it was an approximation, somebody's idea of how it might have looked, the result of a particular decision, a particular button being pushed. But it was still a hit, he said, like the first time you heard Billie Holiday without all that crackle and tin. Billie Holiday was probably a guy like Elvis, Chevette thought, with spangles on his suit, but like when he was younger and not all fat. Skinner had this thing he got on about history, how it was turning into plastic. But she liked to show him she was listening when he told her something, because otherwise he could go for days without saying anything. So she looked up now from her magazine and the picture of girls waving blue and white flags in the Republic of Quebec, and it was her mother sitting there on the edge of Skinner's bed, looking beautiful and sad and kind of tired, the way she could look after she got off work and still had all her makeup on.
He's right, Chevette's mother said.
Mom? About history. How they change it.
Mom, you, everybody does that anyway, honey.
Isn't any new thing. Just the movies have caught up with memory, is all. Chevette started to cry.
Chevette Marie, her mother said in that sing-song out of so far back, you've gone and hurt your head.